The title of this is Finishing the Job, and that's Job, not Job, as in the book of Hebrew scriptures. Some weeks ago, maybe months, time does become an uncertain concept past a certain age, someone asked me concerning a current problem, what I would do if I were God. It's an appealing concept only for a moment. And then the responsibilities become overwhelming. But my answer was that I am God's eyes and hands here on earth, as are all of us. And I believe this metaphorically to be true with all of my heart. I do not have to believe in a particular God. I am not forced to have a theology, only to act as if my choices make a difference. That my choices to act and to care and to complete creation were important and meaningful according to my highest sense of the source of goodness, however I understand that. In his brilliant satire on Unitarian Universalism, the man whom I believe to be America's most important serious satirist of the 20th century, Peter DeVries, wrote that the proof of God's omnipotence is that he need not exist in order to save us. Well, hallelujah! I agree. What I take from this is the utter irrelevance of theology, the pseudoscience of understanding and defining divinity. While at times I have had an occasion to teach theology, it is one of those few times that I had to admit the truth of what I am sometimes accused of. I didn't know what I was talking about. And the emphasis is on know, K-N-O-W. I may have feelings that are true, experiences that are real, and intuitions that are informative and nourishing, but not certainty, not for myself, and certainly not for anybody else. Whatever our theologies may be, even if seemingly paradoxically atheist theologies, there is a classical religious value mostly observed in the breach of humility. We need a little less certainty, we of all denominations, secular and religious. We need less moral clarity and to believe, as the philosopher wrote, that doubt is the handmaiden of truth. Certainty leads so easily to arrogance and intolerance and gets us and makes of us exactly what we cannot bear in others. As human beings, we have the ability to be arrogant, intolerant, and condescending about nearly any subject. Simply by disagreeing with me, you may find yourself cast into the outer darkness. It makes almost no difference what the subject is, whether seemingly a trivial issue of movie rankings or the presence or absence of some kind of clear and present danger. No human subject is immune from raised voices and hurt feelings. Now, I understand arguing. I like arguing. I like to be challenged. It makes me think and rethink. It presents opportunities for learning, for change, and for growth. But I don't understand the need for arrogance, for putting down other viewpoints and the people who hold them. I don't understand the need for name calling. Maybe I would if I believed that it actually advanced the argument, but I believe it is only preaching to those already in agreement when we call others names, and turning deaf and angry and hurting people who might otherwise hear our passion and our caring. It closes ears and closes hearts and is essentially destructive without advancing the causes which we hold dear. Now, I understand passionate arguing about important things, about politics, values, and the issues that will determine the future of our nation and the world. I understand that we argue our own positions because to admit to uncertainty and the possibility of being wrong might take our resolve away. For the religious, there is too often a with us or against us mentality. It's all true, or it's all nonsense. This is the way to salvation or to damnation. For the political, it seems to be exactly the same. You're with us or against us. We're either right or wrong, and the fate of the world is at stake. So, God is on our side or yours, whether it's the same God or not. So wars are right or wrong. Terrorists are threats or illusions. The globe is warming or it's not warming. We want a digital world of yes and no, of right and wrong, of clearly demarcated political, moral, religious issues. I don't believe that important issues are almost ever as clear as we really want them to be. The lines are often not fine, but big and fat and blurry. And we see through a glass made dark by our own fears and passions and the quality of information and analysis brought before us. I do not believe that we often have the moral clarity that we know the results that our positions will lead to. Our desired outcomes may be clear to us, and we may even agree on them, but it is doubtful that we will find agreement or should find certainty as to the means of achieving these common objectives. But we still have to act. We still have to try to do our best about life and meaning and acting in good faith based on the best information and our best instincts, but always, and this is the agreed but difficult part, always moderated with some modicum of humility. As I mentioned, I was felled by the flu this week. I was racked with aches and pains, left without appetite. My internal thermostat was going up and down without any relationship to the ambient temperatures that others were experiencing. I was cold in warm rooms, warm in cold rooms. This was not simple perversity, but illness driving my own true and unique perception, not of the world, but of my own state. My good wife assured me that my subjective experience was not an accurate reflection of the greater reality. That was a nice way of putting it, wasn't it? This was brought home to me a second time as I sought to warm my shivering corpus in the spa. Being semi-delusional anyway, my glasses seemed of little use. So I stumbled outside at 10 p.m. with naked eyes and slipped into a 104-degree spa to boil and exorcise the evil spirits that were inhabiting me away. I relaxed and gazed up at the clear night sky. The stars seemed to shine with unusual brilliance, and the six beautiful, perfectly aligned stars of Orion's belt shone in the night sky. And I realized Orion's belt has three stars. I then shifted my gaze to the rest of the heavens, and suddenly every star and planet was binary. Each twin was perfect in its brightness and in its color. It was all perfect. It was all clear. It was all real. And half of it was illusion. No, I wasn't drunk and I wasn't drugged. I was simply without my normal correction of glasses, and everything was ghosting. Most of the time when things ghost, I can tell the ghost. This time in the night sky, I couldn't. They were all equal. They all looked equally real, equally plausible. This did and does raise a philosophical problem about the nature of inner and outer reality. Which was the real star and planet? Which was the ghost? How much can I trust my own senses to tell the important truths? And how much should I let common wisdom, such as there are only three stars in the belt, influence my view? How modest should I be in the perceptions of my eyes and in the wisdom of my religious and political positions? And in terms of goals, which star should I be guided by? One of the many areas of uncertainty is being able to actually distinguish, particularly in our tradition, between religious and politics. Yes, I'm for separation of church and state, but this is an ongoing tension without a final solution or resolution. They come into conflict because the boundaries and definitions are not clear, but fuzzy, and the traditions distinctly mixed. They're confusing because they occupy the same ecological niche. They both deal with how shall we lead our lives together? How shall we deal with the great issues of community? What we might want to be bright lines, I often have difficulty in knowing and discerning. What is a religious value and what is a political value? Most important concepts, precepts, and conflicts can be languaged in either vocabulary. The point of my talk really is about not relativity, but kindness and our relatedness as human beings, and the consideration we need to show everyone of every religious persuasion and political persuasion as we go about our own individual work, that we may choose to align ourselves with one another from time to time, from job to job, in finishing creation, in being the eyes and hands of divinity, in building a more goodly society, of building housing, of repairing Fullerton, of caring for the homeless, of feeding the hungry, of freeing the prisoner, of comforting the oppressed. Are these civic virtues or religious principles? Yes. Do I do them because they're in a book considered holy by some? Me personally? No. Do I do them because I believe they're the right thing to do? Yes. Why? Depends. Can I always tell the difference? No. Not always. We live in a world where politicians speak in the religious vocabularies and the religious speak in political vocabularies, where religious leaders such as Martin Luther King have been in the forefront of political change, where other religious leaders, many of them Unitarians and many Universalists, were vital to the freeing of slaves, the ending of the oppressing of minorities, and the freeing of part of the enslavement of women, and the establishment of the vote for women as well as for minorities. We live in a world where once liberal religious marched for civil rights and were told by conservatives to go back to their houses of worship. And now, as conservatives march in the streets, it is liberals who tell them to go back to their houses of worship and get off the streets and take themselves home to pray. If you are not confused by the distinctions made between religion and politics, I think you're not paying attention to the complexity of the issues. Our nation is phrasing the war against terror as we did the twilight struggle against the evil empire as a Manichaean theological struggle. We are discussing freedom of choice and gay marriage in both religious and constitutional vocabularies and arenas, and if our politicians can't keep those straight, neither can I. Yes, there are distinctions between discussing overlapping issues with overlapping vocabularies and endorsing political positions and candidates. As a UU congregation, we have neither a theological orthodoxy nor a political orthodoxy or creed. Yes, it's one thing to describe how we might assume some UUs or even most UUs may think on a particular issue, whether political or theological, but that is descriptive, not prescriptive, and it is arrogant and incorrect and inappropriate to assume otherwise. We are communities that care, that see the world as unfinished. We know that there's a lot to be done. In the words of the old work song, there's still so terrible long to go. And there's so many areas to make this a better world for all of our sisters and brothers. This we as Unitarian Universalists believe with a passion. But let there also be humility as we engage this complex world. I'm pretty sure that there are stars in the heavens. But let me at least have the humility to ask if I am guided by the real star or by the ghost. Let me have the humility to realize that even when I discern the actual star, its guiding light left on a journey to my eyes in a dim and distant past. Let me have the inspiration, or at least inspiration enough, to act, and humility enough to be tolerant of those who see and think and act according to the light of possibly another star. But is it? I'm not certain.